On today's show, we've got Roosh Williams.
The Mastodon is in effect.
And we've got one Ryan Hollins.
What's up, brothers? What's going on, man?
We've also got the red hot Houston Rockets riding a 6-game win streak with the Brooklyn Nets coming to town. James Harden's homecoming part 2. We're going to talk about all that and more coming up right here at Locked On Rockets.
It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
With the second pick in the 2021 NBA Draft, the Houston Rockets select Jalen Green.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep getting better every day. I'm going to keep perfecting my craft. And every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, the best and only daily podcast covering your Houston Rockets. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and co-host of Locked On NBA Thursdays. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, as well as at Locked On Rockets. Got a lot of ground to cover in today's episode and two big time guests joining us. But first, I got to tell you that today's episode is brought to you by Truebill. Truebill is a new app that saves you money by helping you identify and stop paying for the subscriptions that you don't want or need, and can even negotiate better deals on those that you want to keep. Now, let's dive in to our guests on today's show. So we've got one host of the Rockets with Roosh on YouTube, as well as the Noble and Roosh Show, wherever you get your podcasts, sponsored by ballislife.com. One, Roosh Williams. What's up, Roosh?
Man, I'm good. I'm glad we're making this a weekly thing, and I'm really excited to talk about 6 in a row, baby.
6 in a row, indeed. And the other big-time guest we've got joining us to break everything down going on with your Houston Rockets is none other than the Ryan Hollins, part of your Houston Rockets broadcast team. What's up, Ryan? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
I'm glad that we had some small technical difficulties when we first sat down to record this thing, but those are out of the way. And now we are clear runway here to tackle everything going on with this team. And Ryan, I gotta start out by saying you've done an amazing job, you know, joining this broadcast team, you know, assimilating, getting in there with Craig and Kaylee. The chemistry is incredible. It feels like you've walked in and embraced the city and the fans, and it feels like they've embraced you. You know, we're a quarter of the way through the season. How are you feeling in this role? Are you feeling a little bit more comfortable? Are you feeling the chemistry? How are you feeling, man?
Man, the Rockets Nation has been everything to me. You know, that encouragement, you know, the tweets, the messages, the high fives, the, you know, what's up, the photos at the arena, that's been everything. And Jackson, you know it. Like, when I came into this deal, I understood that people had their questions, as they should have. But all that I asked is that, hey, man, you give me an opportunity to prove my hard work and loyalty to the team. And they've done that. So I'm appreciative of it. And, you know, like guys, I don't take any of it for granted. So I'm extremely thankful. But it's the fans that are keeping me going, and the players. And, you know, they've been absolutely amazing. Seriously.
Yeah, I would also like to echo that sentiment, man. I think you've been great. It's been a breath of fresh air. Like, I've been watching the Rockets since I was, I don't know, you know, 5 in like 1994. So we've had Bill Worrell on the broadcast for years. Obviously, he's gone now. Totally new team. So I think you've been incredible. It's awesome to hear your insight. My favorite is when you always talk about guys you played with, because I forget, you know, like, oh shit, you know, Hollins played with that dude, you know. So I think it's super cool. And yeah, man, thanks for doing the hard work and for embracing everything. And I think I speak for all Rockets fans when I say we're glad to have you aboard.
Man, I appreciate it, bro.
We're gonna have a couple questions a little bit later on, and one of those is gonna be one specifically for you, Ryan. I'm gonna save that for the third segment. We got a lot of ground to cover. We're gonna talk about James Harden's homecoming here in Houston, part 2. Thank you for that, Mastodon. Then we're also gonna talk about the win streak, right? Some of the iconic moments, the standouts, all that. And I guess that's as good a place to start as any, Ryan. This Rockets team goes from 15 losses in a row to winning, to ripping off 6 wins in a row. It's never been done before across NBA, NFL, NHL. There's never been a team, MLB, that's lost that many games in a row and then gone on to win 6 or more games in a row. They're making history, and in a good way, which is kind of enjoyable. So what to you has been, you know, the standout across these six games? What has stood out to you, the difference between what was going on with this team for that 15-game skid and where they're at now, mentally, emotionally, all of that?
Man, I can point to so many different things, but I'll start with the person in my mind, even though he'd been injured, who really got it all started, was Kevin Porter Jr. You know, he was cast into arguably the second hardest position in sports, which is the NBA point guard. I think a quarterback is the first hardest position, and learn to kind of, you know, do it on the fly. And Kevin Porter was trying to be, you know, what people asked or you would assume that a traditional point guard is. And when he came back, I think he's finding a niche where he can be himself and go score points. And I see him really, really thinking about the game, time and possession, and everybody else on the court. And Roosh, you know it, Jackson, you know this, like there were points in a game where we'd be competitive in a lot of ball games. And that, you know, losing streak, we were competitive in a lot of them. And then we just wouldn't get a good shot, or a guy would hit two or three shots in a row, and then we wouldn't go back to him. So understanding what you want to get on each and every possession is huge from the guard spot. So I'm going to look at the man who got it all started, Kevin Porter Jr.
You know, not only did KPJ come back from, you know, his little week out, you know, missed a few games, comes back, he came back with a different mentality. And I'm glad you highlighted him, because it really feels like he stepped back in and was approaching the game a little bit differently, right? He mentioned that to us, said it to the media, where he was, you know, able to take some time to look at some game footage, look at some of the spots where he was missing guys, not hitting guys on certain reads, missing Christian Wood. He talked about Christian Wood. Was like, you know, Christian lets me, he said, this is verbatim from KPJ, saying, Christian lets me know when I miss him on a read. He will tell me if I miss him on a read. So that's been the growth that I think Rockets fans have really wanted to see from KPJ this season. Right, Roosh?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it all started when they, when they made the lineup change to the starting lineup against Chicago. You really saw the floor spread out. And I think before that, Kevin Porter Jr. was kind of struggling to, it looked like he was trying to process reads. It looked like he was trying to run an offense, but the space wasn't really there to run that offense. And then once they made that starting lineup change, everything opened up. They started running the pick and roll with Christian Wood as like a base to start the offense off of. And I just think everything and all the action kind of unraveled from there. You run the pick and roll with Christian Wood, all of a sudden defenders are now helping over. Defenders are making decisions on how to switch over, and then everything opens up. And we've seen Kevin Porter Jr. making the right passes, pushing the ball in transition, and really starting to look like a point guard.
Ryan, go ahead, Roosh. You give me a 3-second pause in there. What is that? A pause for effect? Come on, man.
Always, baby. I didn't know if it was my turn, but I'll wait if it was my turn to talk about my highlight of the streak.
Go ahead. You are good. Go ahead.
It is none other than one Gary Bird, OVO Gary. Look, ever since this man has become a rotation player, he didn't start against Chicago, and I think he started against Charlotte in every game after that. The entire offense has opened up. It is insane. The Rockets have longed for a player with his skill set that can shoot off movement. The good brother Don Knock referred to Garrison Matthews' skill set shooting kind of like Marco Bellinelli, which I thought was really interesting. Marco Bellinelli used to, you know, come around screens, come off action, and get shots off in really tight space. But you're seeing what someone with that skill set can do. Defenses are scrambling. They're losing their man and getting caught in miscommunications when they're trying to switch. And just his ability to catch and shoot so quickly, or reposition and catch and shoot, draw fouls from the catch and shoot, it has opened everything up. I think we already know the Rockets are, 6 or 7 and 3 when they make 13 or more three-pointers per game, and they lost every single game when they don't make 13 or more three-pointers. And he's been a huge part of that. I think he's shooting 42% on the season. If I'm not mistaken, I think he's taken 69 attempts on 6.9 attempts per game. So it's just opened the entire offense up. Nice. And, you know, the Rockets look like a completely different team as a result of it.
So what you're saying is the key to victory against number 13 is going to be hitting 13 threes. How poetic is that?
Beautiful.
You know, going back to the Garrison Matthews thing, I think we have a very important debate that we've got to figure out right now. Obviously, Gary Bird has been the name, right? That's been what the go-to. But one Vernon Maxwell decided to dub him Mad Matthews. So how are we feeling about that? Roosh, Ryan, one of y'all take the floor. How are we feeling about Mad Matthews as a potential nickname?
Yo, I'll say this, like, he's changed the culture of the team, where Eric Gordon is trying to take charges. Like, I think KPJ stepped in and tried to take a charge the other night. Like, between him and Jayshon Tate, like, they are crashing in like a free safety and a strong safety for these offensive rebounds. Like those two guys have been amazing, but he just brought like we're like a physical blue collar team now, like where it wasn't just free flowing, get up and down, run and gun. Like we're hitting people and harassing people. And by no means is Garrison the fastest or strongest on the floor, but like he fights through screens and like he gets laid out time and time again, and he keeps going. But like it irritates everyone. And I was a role player in the league, and I know as a role player, like you need to be irritating the other team's stars. You need to impact the game. You need to get an offensive rebound. You need to dive on the floor, and that's a part of a winning culture. And he just changed it, and it's like you almost look out of place if you gamble for a pass, if you don't defend, or you don't, you know, crash down and try to rebound. Like he's been everything, man.
To kind of add on to that, I'm gonna flex for a second. I sat courtside at the Thunder game, so I was able to see it up close and personal.
Hollywood Roosh over here.
Hollywood Williams, baby. He gets destroyed on plays physically. Ryan is right. That man is taking charges. He's getting in there, getting knocked down, falling.
He's definitely in an ice bath like 30 seconds after every game. There's no way.
He's everything a high school basketball coach would love, just putting his body on the line, play after play after play, getting up and hitting big shots. The other thing is, basketball is a game of rhythm, right? It's a game of confidence and rhythm and chemistry. And when he's moving around, the ball starts moving around. I had a coach that used to say, the ball moves faster than your feet, right? So when you're whipping the ball around, people are touching it. People are getting their hands on the ball. And also, and it leads to rhythm for everyone. They can get to their spots, and then space opens up and you can naturally move to the spots that you need to get to. The other thing I was going to say is the Rockets, we got used to the Rockets playing, sitting around watching James Harden ISO, right? They would come, get a switch, you know, Harden would dribble, wait. Most times the defense would switch right back and it was kind of ineffective. And then you had four guys, you know, camped around, waiting, stand still, flat-footed, ready to catch and shoot. With Garrison Matthews, man, you're seeing guys move around and it makes the offense unpredictable. And so the defense is now forced to make mistakes. Garrison Matthews is putting pressure on the defense, putting them in situations where they have to make a split second decision on whether they're going to switch or not. And if they do they switch back? Who do they switch to? And when you do that, good defenses are disciplined, right? But an average NBA defense is going to make mistakes when you put pressure on them like that. And so he is doing that. And it's not just this predictable offense where you're watching four dudes stand and one guy go ISO and then plays and possessions fizzle out. So it's just bringing chemistry, flow, and rhythm to the entire game. And that's infectious. And it carries, like Ryan said, to both ends of the floor. And the entire identity of this team has transformed.
Coming up, I want to talk a little bit about one Christian Wood and Alperen Şengün. We're going to talk about those two guys, that potential duo, as well as how Daniel Theis factors into that front court setup. And we're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at Calm. When it comes to athletes, we tend to focus on physical fitness, right? But there's another side of the game that's just as important, and that's mental fitness. Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, has teamed up with LeBron James to help you train your mind and become the champion version of yourself. LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in your body, but you don't have to be a world champion to learn how to train it. Calm can help you train your brain so that you sleep better, reduce your stress, and perform at your best, just like LeBron James does. For LeBron, sleep is a critical part of his mental fitness routine. So if you head to calm.com/lockedonNBA for a limited time, you'll get a 40% off Calm premium subscription. Again, for a limited time, our listeners can join LeBron and using Calm and get a 40% discount on a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/lockedonNBA. Unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/lockedonNBA. That is calm.com/lockedonNBA. And another message from our friends over at Built Bar, because look, this holiday season, you can grab the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, or honestly, even better than a candy bar, right? Built Bar, they've got so many amazing options filled with so much holiday goodness, rich with decadent flavor, covered in chocolate, amazingly low in calories, sugar, net carbs, and fat, high in protein. Again, it is a candy bar that is jam-packed with protein, basically. Best of both worlds, delicious and healthy. So many amazing flavors that they have on their menu. Raspberry, mint chocolate brownie, double chocolate, cookies and cream, my personal favorite, coconut brownie chunk. Can't go wrong with a single bar on their menu. So go check them out at built.com and use promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your very next order of the best tasting protein bars. Again, that is LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, with the Mastodon himself, Roosh Williams, as well as Ryan Hollins, continuing our conversation about your Houston Rockets. Now, we got to talk a little bit about the bigs, about the front court. And Ryan, I want to get your insight on what you were seeing happening between Daniel Theis and Christian Wood, you know, in what kind of led to the decisions from the coaching staff to kind of move away from that dynamic and go with Christian Wood as the solo big.
I don't think there's any disrespect to what Daniel Theis brings to the table. He's consistent. He is the same man, win, lose, or draw. I just think the other four guys necessarily didn't fit with him well. You know, Christian can pop out and shoot the three, but Christian is not a guy who just sits on the three-point line, and Theis is very effective rolling, but, you know, he's not quite at this point in his career just a knockdown, like, yo, he gets an open shot or space, knockdown three-point shooter. So it's no disrespect to him, and I think they both play better with one guard, and it's not an element where, like, Şengün passes so well. You throw the ball, he's going to make something happen where you kind of mix in with them. So I think that just Christian needed his space, and that's what you get. And then you got to think also about Jayshon Tate. So you kind of almost in some ways, you can argue that it was like three bigs on the floor because Jayshon Tate likes to cut. So he plays a lot like that second big. So you get two guys cutting or in space, one guy popping, and the space wasn't there. So I don't think that's any disrespect to Theis. And I think the biggest tribute to Daniel Theis this year is whether he's played or not, he comes in and gives the same effort. In that last game, all of our bigs have foul trouble, and you had the monster of Valanciunas on the floor. So his ability to step in, and I looked up like, dang, you know, Wood's got five. You know, Şengün's got five. Like, well, shoot, I'm glad we have a Daniel Theis ready to go, you know. And it took Valanciunas a while to kind of get going in that ball game, but it's a luxury. And I think let's keep this in perspective, but I think every piece to a good championship now, I think you got to have at least three bigs or three guys who can guard the post. So Daniel Theis, I think it's a recipe for success, and you want versatility in your size, but you need guys who actually can guard the post. There's some people who can and some people who can't, but having three against certain teams or matchups is extremely vital because you don't want to be a powerhouse, get to the playoffs, and then you just get pounded out on the glass or on the boards because you don't have anybody to guard, you know, a traditional center or rebounding big.
I'm glad you bring up the kind of the professionalism aspect for Theis, because that's got to be tough to have your number pulled to suddenly go from being a starter, you're back on the bench. But even Steven Silas has been constantly highlighting, hey, he is a pro's pro. He is a professional. He's engaged. He's still coaching up the guys. He's still, you know, involved. He's vocal. You can see him active on timeouts, on the sidelines. Whether he gets a DNP coach's decision or whether he's starting, he's very much engaged with this team. And so I do think Daniel Theis, you know, has, you know, I think Rockets fans need to show a little bit more appreciation and love for what Daniel Theis brings to the table. And like you said, I think it was more so about the fit with the other guys on the court, not necessarily about what Theis brings to the table. But you hit on him for just a second. Alperen Şengün. Guys, what has been the craziest thing that we've seen Alperen Şengün do on the floor? Because it seems every single night he brings out something new out of his bag, and it's just been absolutely absurd to watch. Roosh, take it away.
That fake behind the back pass against OKC was wild. I mean, because not only did he do it, right, which is just, I mean, I don't think I've seen that. I'm not sure I've ever seen that. I probably have, but I can't remember it. Not only did he do it, but he got the defender to bite. The defender moved to block the fake pass, and then it was magician style, just boom, boom, perfect. I mean, he's so creative. He's so smart. He's also deceivingly good at blocking shots, especially a lot of times when he gets out on the perimeter and you think he gets beaten to the basket. He will recover, and he doesn't have crazy bounce. His arms don't measure like crazy long, but he will recover and get a block shot. And, you know, he had that one move as well against Valanciunas where he had him on the block, hit him with the spin. Someone came over and helped, and he went up and under and kind of scooped it up. So he's just so creative, so crafty. His IQ is through the roof. Basketball IQ on the floor in motion is something you cannot coach, and he's got it. So it's pretty incredible to watch.
I think for those who watch him, you know, or season of Şengün, I think it was the lob in New York. When I saw KJ Martin on the break throw the lob up, I swear for a second I was like, is KJ Martin going to throw this lob to KJ Martin? I'm like, who else catches lobs in the second unit? And Şengün comes flying out of the air and dunks it home. So, you know, it's just funny. Like, no, you're right on point, Roosh. His athleticism, he is far ahead defensively from what we thought. And then just his IQ on the floor. going pound for pound with other stars. You forget that he's 19 years old all the time. But I would say, just from those who watch him, that like that live was like, yo, you can do that too.
You know, I think one, I got to say this, and Roosh, you can check me on this if you don't agree, but I get Yao Ming vibes from Shingun when he dunks, like in the sense that like, right, like Yao was very, so much finesse, right, the way that he played so much of the time. And then whenever he like had that moment where he finally like yammed one home, where it was just like, yeah, like he's dunking. Like I kind of get those vibes from Shingun.
I'm going to check you on that. I disagree.
Okay, that's fine.
Yao was so finesse. He would just dunk it and it was just too easy. Shingun, when he dunks it, you're kind of like, that boy's heavy. Like he rocked the rim, you know, like he hangs on the rim. He also, I forgot to mention, he had that one move, I think also on Valanciunas, where he beat him off the dribble. Just like ISO style, beat him off the dribble, I think to the left side of the basket and laid it up, you know, for two off the glass. And it was just kind of like, I tweeted this, every game I watch him, he does something I've never seen before or something I just did not expect. It's crazy. It's like he only plays, what, 18 minutes a game, but he is one of the main attractions for me. Every night, every time he gets on the floor, it's just crazy to watch how he sits up in the high post. You can just run action. And literally by the ball just being in his hands with him standing still, he's creating offense. All you got to do is cut. And then what happens off that is you get secondary action, right? Like DJ Augustine had one play, little DJ Augustine, probably my height, cuts down the middle in the land of the Giants. Shingun hits the bounce pass. Augustine catches it. Corner defender helps over, whips it to the corner for three. Boom. You know, it's just you get guys moving. Shingun can find them standing flat-footed, and all of a sudden things just open up. It's so much fun to watch.
Well, I'll say, throw this out. A lot of people don't know he's probably the most flexible player in the NBA. He can literally go through his legs, head all the way through his legs, legs all the way up vertical. Like, his flexibility is unreal. Like
he does the splits.
He's a freak of nature. Yeah.
Yeah, he does those splits at half court, right? I've seen that.
Those are pretty wild. And there's a shirt of the, you can go get the stretch big shirt from Apollo HOU. Go grab that right now. If you're interested, I got it back over my closet. I should have been rocking it right now. But Ryan, I wanted to ask you, you know, how rare is it, you know, to see a 19-year-old kid come into the league and be this mature right out of the gate, to see him be able to process the game so quickly the way that he does?
You think of the guys that stand out, and I'm not trying to get wild here, just keep it in context, but I'm just thinking outside of Shingun, the guys like LeBron, you knew he was going to be something rookie year. You know, Kobe, you could see that coming.
Luka.
I mean, Magic Johnson, Luka, like 19. Like, so it's scary because, yeah, the other teams are seeing him for the first time. He's surprising them, but a lot of players as a young player, you have to adjust to the speed and size. Like, dang, Anthony Davis is really athletic. You know, LeBron is really quick. Like Westbrook gets it. Like, you have to adjust to those things. And he's kind of, like, tempered to it. Like, so it's surprising. I don't know where his ceiling is. I swear to God, I don't know where his ceiling is, because I assume he's going to be shooting the three ball better. He's going to be comfortable in himself. I think the offense is going to be more centered around him about how to use his skill set. And it's really scary where you could go. And it has to be, like, shout out to Raphael Stone. Like, he's the steal of the draft in the front office, and Chuck Hayes and all those guys and Bull. Like, when they went and, like, got him, like they did their homework, and all the teams that passed on him, like, this is just a scary mix. I think Scola, I think Yao, like you said, you got to think Jokic. Like, it's just – and Jokic, I'm like, Roosh, you know this? I played against Jokic early in his career. He wasn't that good. He wasn't as aggressive offensively. He didn't, you know, he could pass and make the plays, but he wasn't like this. Like, it's scary. Shingun's going to be a knockdown three-point shooter.
Yeah. I mean, he's already shooting, like, what, 38-something percent? At one point, it was above 40%, which is crazy, because when we saw him come into the league or into the summer league, it was like, okay, his shot's going to take a while. And all of a sudden, he's just whipping threes. He's also got a sneaky good handle. Like, he'll get in transition and go behind the back. You know, and he's only 19, man. He could still grow an inch or two. You know, it's not – it's on the table. It might happen.
I grew at 19. There I was go. Only 6'11 at UCLA only. My freshman year and grew.
Only 6'11. Hey,
well, only 6'11. I'm standing over here at a towering – I gotta say, I'm 6 feet. I'm like 5'11 and three quarters. So I don't even clear 6 feet all the way. I do once I'm in shoes, but I mean, Ryan, is that something you'd maybe like to see a little bit more of? You talked about, you know, the progression in Şengün's game, but, you know, utilizing him a little bit more, you know, as the offensive hub for this team. They do that a fair bit, but is that kind of the next step you see for him really kind of being like almost like the focal point offensively when he's on the floor?
Absolutely. I think that Steven Silas is doing an excellent job of learning his team, what guys can do, and teaching the guys, hey, look at Şengün, he can pass. Look at DJ Augustine, he runs offense. Look at Josh Christopher, you know, he's working his tail off. Look at, you know, Garrison, he's in the corners hitting threes. So I think there are some units that we have that aren't conventional, and sometimes there isn't a DJ Augustine available in the second unit, or sometimes Kevin Porter won't be out there and saying, hey, let's run the ball through Şengün on the elbows. And I think that's the next step. But a lot of people are like, you know, he should start. He should get more. He should get more. Sometimes when you got a good thing, don't mess it up. He's playing comfortable minutes. He plays extremely well. When his number is going to be called to do more, I think he'll be ready to do more. But right now, keeping a 19-year-old in a very happy place is gold. And you don't want to really exhaust that. And I think that he's doing well. I wouldn't tinker with the thing. I think it's just organically going to happen, Roosh.
I agree, man. Not messing with a good thing is a great point. And also it's kind of like harnessing his abilities, right? Like harnessing it and cultivating it for when it's really ready to just blow up. Like they're kind of playing the slow game with it, and they're giving him meaningful minutes, right? Like he'll play at the start of the fourth, for example, against the Thunder. He played the start of that fourth and they made that run and kind of cut the lead. I don't put a lot of stock in per 36 numbers and stats because, you know, guys get fatigued, guys foul.
Is like, you're an old head?
The game just changes, man. People get tired. Like, things don't perfectly translate over the course and extrapolate mathematically. But that being said, this man is putting up – he's playing 18 minutes a game, so basically double his stats. This man is putting up, per 36, 17 a game, 9 rebounds a game, 5 dimes a game, 2 steals a game, and a block per game. That's insane. By the way, he's shooting 37% from 3.
His per 36 numbers are better than Evan Mobley's. I'm going to just throw that out there.
They are. That's insane, though. 17, 9, 5, 2, 1. That is ridiculous. No guarantee he'll do that, but just kind of gives you a glimpse. I agree with Ryan, though. I don't know where his ceiling is. Like, I could see him, you know. You mentioned Scola, and I've said this before. Scola came to the league when he was 27, right? Because he was on the Spurs. Well, the Spurs had his rights, but they had Tim Duncan, obviously, and Thiago Splitter, and, you know, all the European big men they had. So Scola was not going to come over and play the four power forward over Duncan. So he came over late. But Şengün gives me kind of a window into what Scola could have been had Scola come over at 19 with that craftiness and passing and all that, you know. So I love it, man. I'm so glad they found this guy. Credit to Rafael Stone. And also credit the Russell Westbrook trade brought John Wall and a first-round pick that was used to get the draft pick that got Şengün, in conjunction with trading Robert Covington for Christian Wood, that also got Usman Garuba and the other pick that they used to trade for Şengün.
So. Rafael Stone masterclass indeed. You know, can't say enough good things about what Rafael Stone has done in a very short amount of time to retool and rebuild and get this Rockets franchise set for the future. Coming up, though, we're going to talk a little bit about the Rockets-Nets matchup right around the corner, as well as we've got a couple fun little questions that we're going to throw at Ryan, at Roosh, and myself. We're going to get there in just a moment after a quick message from our friends over at betonline.ag. BetOnline has you covered all season, more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football and basketball season continue on. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all of the sports action this year. Head over to their new updated website and sign up today to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. Just use promo code LOCKEDON to receive your 50% welcome bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, UFC, even your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. We thank you for making Locked On Rockets your first listen of the day. Now, the big game on the horizon, Rockets riding a 6-game win streak. James Harden is coming back to town, his second time back into town. The last time James Harden was in town, PJ Tucker was still a Houston Rocket. That's kind of crazy to think about. Guys, in this game, no Joe Harris, no Kyrie Irving for the Nets, for the Houston Rockets, missing their backcourt of the future in KPJ and Jalen Green. Daniel Hus Jr. also out with an ankle injury, unfortunately. So give me some initial thoughts on this one. Ryan, we'll start with you about, you know, what this Nets team presents as far as a challenge to this team to keep the win streak going.
Man, they're dynamic. They're veteran. Obviously, the scoring is there, even though there's no Kyrie Irving, which is scary to even think that Kyrie Irving could be on this basketball club. But, you know, between Harden and Durant, they can literally beat you themselves. I mean, you could get arguably a 90 to 100 points of scoring literally out of those two guys. So I think the key is in this game, it's got to be a blue collar, you know, hard hat, physical type of game. And make those guys have to work. You know, don't let them, you know, when you're playing against Roosh Jackson, when you're playing against a guy, and I've had to do it, who's extremely talented, like a Durant or LeBron or Harden, those guys, you got to get under the skin. You got to make them work. You got to throw multiple bodies at them. You got to be physical with them. And you have to tire them out, but you got to make them work equally on the defensive end of the floor. And that's where I think that the Nets really struggle. I think this is a huge game where the Rockets can dominate the paint and get anything they want in the paint and get out in transition. And I think if that gets rocking and you get the Nets playing on their heels, you give yourself an excellent chance to win a ball game like this. And obviously try to play off the fact that maybe their team chemistry isn't in full yet at this moment.
Well, Ryan, you said playing against Roosh, so I just got to remind the folks, if you're going to play against me, we're going to be whipping threes all day, baby, because that's what I do. No, so I agree with all that. Look, Patty Mills is a Rocket killer. I think Rockets fans know that, and he's shooting 47% from three, I believe, on the season on like 6 or 7 attempts per game, which is wild. LaMarcus Aldridge has been playing really good basketball. Honestly, without LaMarcus Aldridge, I think the Nets would be having probably a significantly worse season. I mean, we also need to remember, for all the noise that's been made, the Nets are still number one in the East, right? So I think some of that stuff is overplayed. But LaMarcus Aldridge, I think, has given him 13 points a game, highest TS percentage of his career over the last 5. I think he's averaging like 17 a game. So he's been balling. And also, DeAndre Bembry has been inserted into their starting lineup recently, and he's been playing well as well. I think he's putting up 9-7 on like 73% from the field over the last 5 when he's started to get extended minutes. And Paul Millsap finally had the kind of game they've been expecting from Paul Millsap coming off the bench. So don't take the Nets lightly. I might be wrong about this, but I think they're playing right now. Is that right?
The Rockets are going to catch them on the second night of a back-to-back. They're dealing with Dallas.
Back-to-back. Where are they playing right now?
I believe it's Dallas. I will double check that. And yeah, that makes sense. It is Dallas. Yeah,
that makes sense. So they'll be taking a trip down 45. But also, man, let's talk about James Harden.
Oh, hey, right? I will say, hang on. At the time of this recording, they are down 12 to Dallas at halftime. So
well, how about
they might
that?
Be coming back Make down to Houston with a vengeance.
Right? So, and then the final piece of this puzzle, man, is James Harden. I tweeted this, and I'm going to read this off my tweet. So excuse my eyes being on my phone, Jackson. But he's averaging the lowest field goal attempts per game since he was a member of the Oklahoma City Thunder. He's shooting a career worst from the field, 40.3%. And from the three-point line, 34.7%. He's averaging the third most turnovers per game of his career. I think it's 5 point something, despite having the lowest usage since he was in Oklahoma City, which is kind of crazy, to be honest. And the least points per game that he's averaged since getting traded from OKC by 4 whole points, 20 points per game prior to this Dallas game. So who knows what happens? So it's a different James Harden. I'm interested to see psychologically, mentally, where is he at? He has looked unsure of himself, Ryan. Maybe you can speak more to this, but it looks like that injury is kind of in his head, and he's not, he either doesn't have the explosion or he's hesitant to explode and then re-aggravate that hamstring. But he's looked not confident and unsure of himself. And given what we know about Harden in the history, about big moments, how sometimes he tries to just play it super cool. Tomorrow night, I would imagine, you know, the last time that he was in Houston, there was still some COVID protocols. So I think there's going to be a lot more people there, and it'll be more of a real environment. And so we'll see how he kind of mentally responds to that.
I can only imagine the range of emotions that are going to be going through James Harden coming back. You know, maybe some frustration from the way he left. A lot of love for the fans, a lot of love for the team, a lot of love for this city. But I'm intrigued to see it. You know, I was on the Cavaliers when LeBron came back to Cleveland, and I don't think it's going to be anywhere near that. But I think it's going to be intriguing because this is James Harden's home. You know, win, lose, or draw, however people feel about him, he did so much here for his fans, the city, and the organization. So I'm excited to see him. I hope he gets a warm reception. I'm all good for a fairy tale ending to a story. And I think he's going to be high or low. you know, either the emotions are going to be too high, he's going to want it too bad, or it'll be too low. Like it's weird. Like imagine going out on a date with your new girl and your ex-girl's there with her new guy. You know, that's kind of what it's like. Like it's awkward. Like, okay, I don't want to see this, but cool, we're here.
Oh man, you know,
that's a great way to put it.
Jackson had a memory flash across his head.
No, I did not. Y'all ain't gonna put me on blast like that. Y'all ain't gonna put me on blast on my own show. It's not happening. All right.
You just might, brother.
I love the metaphor, and I'm looking forward to this matchup. I think that, you know, Ryan, you talked about bringing that blue collar mentality against this Nets team. And I think that, you know, you're going to need every stop you can get out of Jay Sean Tate, right? Maybe Jay Sean Tate gets under James Harden's skin just enough to where James Harden has to throw another basketball at Jay Sean Tate. We'll see how that happens. Shout out to the early Rockets practice last season, but it's definitely going to be an exciting game. I got to do this before we get to our final couple questions here that I got teed up. We got to get predictions for this game. Ryan, how do you think the game ends? Give me a final score prediction.
I think a high scoring game for sure. Going to be a little defense. I think we're looking at 127 to 115 Rockets. I think Tate stays out of foul trouble. I think the pace stays up. I think Gary Bird gets going. And I think that I don't think, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think the Nets really respect all of our guys. Like, is he like that? Like, that's the one thing about a veteran. Like, you just try to play the Jedi mind trick. Is he like that? And I think he's the one that keeps me optimistic because I don't think he gives a darn who's on the other side. And he's going to be diving into people's legs. He's going to be blocking shots. Like he's not going to let them be comfortable. And I'm excited to see. And I think just, you know, the biggest worry, like I said, is just James Harden is on the other side of emotion and gets in one of those zones that we haven't seen in a while from him.
I'm going to say, so
you're going to be the Debbie Downer. You're going to say,
I think the Rockets run out of gas because Kevin Porter Jr. is not playing. Jalen Green's not playing. I think this might be the game where the lack of a real point guard catches up to them. The Nets might mess around and think that Joe Harris is wearing a Rockets jersey tomorrow because of Gary Bird, OVO Gary. But I'm going to say Nets 110, Rockets 101 because Patty Mills is a Rockets killer, and I think he goes off tomorrow. LaMarcus Aldridge has also, throughout his career, been a Rockets killer, and we might have trouble guarding him if he gets in a rhythm, in a groove, kind of operating from the post. I will say that a lot of it's going to depend on James Harden and whether or not he gets a whistle. If James Harden's not getting a whistle, then things might change. But if James Harden is getting a whistle, then we might see him kind of get into one of those grooves where he gives us a 25, 30 piece with, you know, 8, 9, 10 assists. If not, he might have one of those classic, like, you know, 5 of 17 Harden games. So we'll see. But I'm making a prediction that we will see an Alperen Şengün post up guarded by James Harden at some point, and it's going to be electric whenever it happens. So we'll see.
That's going to be an incredible highlight. I cannot wait to look forward to that. I'm gonna roll with Ryan on this one. I'm going a bit closer on my final score though. I'm gonna go 120 Rockets, 117 Nets, nail biter down the end. Not a game winner or anything, not like a crazy game winning shot, but I'm gonna go that close, thread the needle right there at the end. It's gonna be an exciting game, an electric game. We can't wait to see it. But that brings us to our final couple questions that we got here from some of the listeners who submitted a couple questions for the end of our show. So let's get to the very first one here. Ryan, this is for you. From Alex K, he wants to know who the toughest player is that you had to guard.
I'll give you three of them that just gave me a headache, pal. Okay. Boogie Cousins, Chris Bosh, and Mark Gasol, because they were physical. They could go left, they could go right, and then they could shoot like a mid-range jumper. And once you like picked up your second foul, like it was impossible to guard those guys because they took up the slack. They would get right to your chest. So those were like my toughest covers. And if I wanted to pick one out of that, maybe, you know, Bosh becomes, you know, the hardest. But yeah, those three were, they were tough because I was a smart defender. I was going to take you away from your strength no matter who you were. And those guys didn't have too many weaknesses.
I have I interviewed Miles Turner on my podcast, and we asked him the same question. And Boogie Cousins was the name he mentioned. Boogie's just so big, man. I imagine guarding him is crazy because he's just so strong. He's one of those dudes that moves you without even trying to move you, right?
Yep.
You
know?
If I had to guard Boogie Cousins, I would probably just wind up face down in the floor. So I'm
break my nose for the fifth time.
There you go. Right. All right. So that was our first one. We got a second one here, and this one's a nice holiday themed question, but what is on our Rockets holiday wish list? So we're going to go around the circle and I'm going to tee us off. I would love to see KJ Martin in the dunk contest. It's something small. It's nothing major, but I would love to see I'm just imagining All-Star weekend, KJ Martin in the dunk contest, a lot of hype. KPJ shows up to throw a couple passes to him. Like, I would love to see that for this young Rockets team to have a little bit of buzz about something off the floor. Ryan, what's on your holiday Rockets wish list?
Well, forgive me. I don't celebrate Christmas, but I'll throw out what I would like to see. I think Jalen Green in a dunk contest with KJ Martin and Gary Bird in the three-point contest.
I was going to say Gary Bird in the three-point.
I think we're rolling.
I was going to say OVO Gary in the three-point contest, but I will say, you know, I'll go a little more big picture. I would love to see Jalen Green get his overall three-point percentage up into the 30s. Right now he's been lingering around 27, 28. I want to see him get it up because I know he can shoot and it just hasn't come together yet. But with the new lineup, what'd you say?
It's over. If that happens, it's over.
That's what I'm saying, right?
If
he gets a three-point shot, then, you know, I think we have a lot to be excited about in Houston. So with that new lineup in space, I'm hoping maybe we can get that.
Shout out to Alex K and Carly W for submitting those questions. Appreciate y'all for checking out the show, all that stuff. Ryan, thank you so much for crashing the pod. It's always a pleasure to be able to talk hoops with you.
Hey man, listen, you know, just the emotions were high. I saw you guys and I was like, yo, like, are we really going to do this? And hats off to Jackson. You know, Jackson had stuff to do. He was all over the place and he was like, yo, fellas, we on. Like, we're doing this. We're coming with the three-piece nugget, the big three on the pod, and we're going to make it happen, man.
The big three, baby. Someone, hey, if someone's listening, give me the Photoshop. Give me the graphic, the big three.
Oh, man. All right. Well, I can't wait. Somebody's going to have to tackle that because I can't be the one to do it. That's just lame if I go out there and do it myself. No, so somebody else.
I give myself
has to come
all the time. You can do it.
Somebody's going to have to come in and Photoshop a little big three logo with the three of us. I love it. Ryan, we appreciate you stopping by for the show, man.
Appreciate you guys.
All right. Now, Roosh, you know the drill. You got to let everybody know where to track down your stuff at.
Find me on Twitter, R-O-O-S-H Williams, Roosh Williams. If you listen to podcasts, go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcast, type in N-O-B-L-E, Noble and Roosh Show. And then if you have YouTube, Rockets with Roosh, subscribe and follow along.
Roosh, always a pleasure. Appreciate it. I'll see you next week, my guy. And with that, that's going to do it for our show. Hopefully you enjoyed the big three, as it were, with me, Ryan Hollins, and Roosh Williams. Appreciate you checking out the show. If you haven't done so, please consider hitting subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple, Spotify, Google, brand new Odyssey app, free and available on all platforms. You can also find the show on YouTube. Just search Locked On Rockets on YouTube. Hit subscribe, like, comment, all that good stuff. As always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.